We will continue with the last session of day two at the FSPMA conference held in Orlando, Florida. This session is How to Be a Rockstar Leader. Let's join Dave Thompson as he starts this last session. So the thing about it is we're dealing with all kinds of different personalities of people. So in this part here, I turned it on already. I didn't turn this one on though. I don't know about that one. Before I even start, you can see that we have the blameless one, the justifier, Mr. Attitude, the helpless one, Mr. Stressed Out, Miss Whiner, and Mr. Longevity. Does this sound like your team? Are you already starting to put people in those places? This is why I said, I think in this session here, this one will kind of be fun to see who starts really smiling a lot when we start talking about somebody, or if somebody just has a smile all the time, because we got one of everybody.
You understand concepts?
Hang on.
Power with, instead of. Hi, I'm Mike Ward. Today we're presenting information from the Academy of Cleaning Excellence and Dave Thompson. What you're about to learn is from my book, Who Swings Your Mom. If you're a rock star leader, you understand concepts like power with instead of power over, and letting everybody on the team have some input instead of just being the boss. And listen to those frontline custodians, because you know what? They might know something that you don't.
Okay, we heard enough, Mike. Go on.
Fix him.
There we go. So, as I said before, this is from Mike's book, Who Swings My Mop? Now, I won't tell you that I have put this in exactly the same format that he has in his book. I've got a little bit of license to kind of shift things around a little bit. So, I'm trying to do my best to give credence to his book, but also kind of tune it to what we need to deal with. But I would say very, very emphatically, get his book, read it. You know, there's a lot more information. Hopefully next year when I come back, we'll actually pick up some other parts of his book, and maybe we'll use some other parts of his book and kind of continue this whole thing along. Several people have asked already, can you come to our location? Can you teach this? You know what? You throw it out, as my boss says. The answer is yes. How do we make it happen for you? So, don't think this is a one-time only deal. As we were talking before, we are going to podcast this on our podcast channel. It'll probably take several weeks before we get it all up there and everything. So I'd say watch the podcast channel, keep up with it, subscribe to it, and whenever it comes up there, then you'll get a notice that it's up. Now, I kind of want to do less talking this time and hear from you. It wasn't me. I'm not the one that did it. We don't have anybody like that. Ones who have an excuse for everything. Do we have any? What do you do? Like I said, I don't want to do all the talking on this. Now, we're going to carry the mic around a little bit because we want to hear from you, because like I said, we're going to podcast this. So, you know, we want other people that might be listening to hear. So, what are you doing when it comes to somebody like this? How are you dealing with it? Uh-oh, nobody wants to talk. Pardon?
Ask questions.
Ask questions.
What happened to you guys that took place?
Okay.
My belief is that there's excuses and reasons for
big difference too.
So there's a difference between an excuse and a reason.
That's what I believe.
That's your belief. Everybody agree? I get kind of some of this, but I'm not.
Excuse me?
That's just you. Apparently, you're the only one who believes that.
And that's not my way.
How often have you, okay, let's first get a look at ourselves, done that? You've blamed somebody else. We are not perfect, even as supervisors, folks. Sometime in your career, you did it too. All right, being honest. I don't know that there's a perfect person in the room. Hadn't met one yet. It may take 30 years for us to find out how imperfect you are. Oh, I'm sorry. But it's his fault, her fault, their fault, not me. Come on, I told you I'm not going to do all the talking this time.
I remember that if I do anything, I would say I do it. But I don't tend to blame other people, even sometimes knowing who probably was responsible.
So you're the cover-up guy.
The reason kind of committed to, you know, say about it all.
Oh. No hear, no tell.
Well, I was no mean leader.
Okay. Oh, you were the leader at the time.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Let's clarify that. All right. So if you're not the leader, it's okay to do that.
No, not that it's okay. but you don't want to be involved.
But what you're telling me is this is the reality of it.
Yeah.
Right?
It is the reality.
It is the reality of it. So the question here is, how many of your team members fall in this trap? It is a trap, right? What is your job as a supervisor? Okay, you guys didn't take that long of a break. Come on.
Sir.
And
document.
Report. Document, report. So if I have these issues, what am I doing? I'm not observing them if I'm letting them continue to happen. Well, you guys said you had people like this on your team.
We all
got one of these?
We all got enough.
How many of these you got?
I got a couple.
So, Mike has, in this section of his book, he also says, you know, the thing first is to observe, right? Identify, as some people say. Identify what the issue is, where the issue is, what it is. But then he also has what he calls practice keys. So, what's your objective? If you have this person, what's going to be your objective? Get them to take the responsibility. What might be another objective?
I think you have to be stern. You got to let them know.
No. Hang on. We're not disciplining them, right?
No. But what I'm saying is when you address them, you got to let them know this is not a joke.
Okay, so let's stop just a moment. My job's to observe. I'm not addressing anything, right? This is what we get caught into. I'm not addressing. I've got to observe things. So if I'm observing, let's say with that thought, what's my performance objective? See, this is the critical thinking that has to go into this, the analyzing part. I have to listen to feedback. You see what we were talking about, communication, with my ears? Avoid taking responsibility for the person's mistake. Kind of somewhere where you were talking. No tell, no see, no tell. You know, somebody will say, oh, well, you know, I know that was his, but I'll take responsibility for that. You start listening, you're going to find out there's people like that there too. You know, the cover-up thing, what I was saying. Didn't mean that that's what you did. Take time to coach them, brainstorm with them. rather than just say it's a thing and avoid it and not deal with the issue, maybe the thing is to work with them and find out what's happening. You did that when you listened. Now, after you've listened, what would be a point of, what is one of the, I mean, you guys have these people, not me. I mean, there's only Everett and I, so I don't have that problem.
Show them, make sure they're doing what you want them to, the county wants.
Right. That can be a brainstorming session, because as you're doing this, you're working with the thought process. Because I'm actually physically, which is one of the points of communication, right? Encourage a job that's well done at the next meeting. So, maybe to get that person... Oh, go ahead.
One of the things that I really enjoy doing is when I have a custodian who's done something pretty amazing, or who has improved or shown improvement, is if I'm standing with our director and they happen to be in the vicinity, I call them over and I tell the director, I let this person, my custodian, hear me tell our director what they're doing right. And I had to do that, I've got the opportunity to do that a couple times. And the smile on their faces when they walk away, I've empowered them, I've given them power over what they're doing. I've encouraged them, and it really pays back so much.
So you said a couple of things I want to point out. She said, that has power over. The thing is now you've shifted that power to the situation, not to you.
Right.
Right? And you've changed that from the negative, I'm not taking responsibility. Now they've shown that they can do it and they've advanced, and now the power is now in the situation and not in the people.
And responsibility alone.
Correct. So you see how you can take and you can move the power to the situation. The situation and the good job will always have more rewards than the power of the person. Does this make sense? So this is part of supervising that rock star situation. Now, I know we're talking about people and their idiosyncrasies, if you will, right? Those personality traits that just make us who we are. Some of these things you're not going to change, but as you just said, some of these things we can encourage by what you also said of practice and doing. If you had not done that, that would not have been a learning lesson, and everybody else sees it. So if you want to change that culture and you don't want to have this blameless one, that's some of the things you can do to eliminate, or I would say to minimize, this trait in your team. Do we want to have any more discussions before we go to the next person? Okay. Because the next one is the justifier. Oh, I'm not sure why I looked over this way, but I mean, maybe it was that glare that you and I have right off our... Those who make excuses to cover up their own deficiencies. Oh my. I saw several people doing like this. How many of those you have? Yep, got them too. So what do we do? Well, the thing is, these people believe that they have power with their justification. Do they really have power? So how are you going to defuse what they think they have? Because they were sure that they have the power to do whatever they want to do, right? Because they can justify any situation that comes up. They have an answer for everything, you know what I'm saying? You've met those people. We know who they are. They're sneaky. Tell me if I'm lying. Okay, well, I got another one for you. They also like the name drop. Joe said that this is what we should do. Joe has absolutely no idea what that is. But just because Joe said it, at my office, my boss says, don't ever tell me that Dutch said anything. Dutch is the owner. Because I'm going to go back and ask Dutch if he said it. Those are the name droppers. You can always tell they're going to be sneaky too. So these traits all go together. You ready for the next one? Guess what the next one is? Come on. Come on. You got them? You know where I'm going? They also like to get the book out and start going down the policy. Well, the book says they're the ones that are justifying every little single thing. As a rock star supervisor that you are, what are you going to do? Do you know where your book is? Heck no, I haven't read that book in a year. They got you. Because when these people, you know, as the person said, don't drop somebody's name because I'm going to go ask them. Whenever they start, you know, giving you the policy, let's go. Song, chapter, verse, let's sing it together. Because I'll tell you this, they don't know what they're talking about. But they know you don't either. And they got you by the short hairs. You just lost. So, here's one of the things you do. Now, I don't know if I can read all of this to you, but for those that are listening to the podcast, everything must be in writing. So, Mike has this that he wrote in his book, and I'm just going to try to read this as best I can. It says, Mr. Justifier Jim. Now, he probably isn't going to put that in the writing. You know, he's trying to make a point at this. You know, you probably wouldn't say Justifier Jim. You'd probably just say, hey, Jim, please move 32 chairs from room 202 to room 230. In your schedule, you have 15 minutes from 4 p.m. to 4:15 p.m. to take care of this special request. By stacking the chairs in four stacks of eight, you will have time to take them from room 202 to 230. When you take them to room 230, leave them in stacks by the black file cabinet. Thank you very much, Mike, your supervisor. You've documented exactly everything that can be done. Where to, and notice how many times he said where to move them from, and even put them by the black file cabinet and leave them. Because here's the thing that Justifier Jim's going to do. If you leave one thing out, who wins? Jim's gotcha. You gotta play the game. You play it enough times, and you'll destroy it.
He still got you, though. He still got you.
He still got me.
Because you didn't tell him what to do.
Yeah, I did.
That's how they do it too.
So the thing here is, when working with Justifier Jim, the best way to stop that behavior is to prove them wrong with action. Words doesn't do it. This is those people that you've got to go and prove to them that what's written in the manual is the way that it can be done. If I go and I say, and I've been challenged by this more than one time, how many people use a no-touch cleaning system to clean bathrooms? One? Yeah, a Kyvac or something like that, okay? I can clean a bathroom fixture in 1 minute. So if I've got 10 water fixtures, I can clean that bathroom in 15 minutes. Justifier Jim, on the other hand, will tell you that that's not possible because you got to do this, and this. So you have to be able to, as a supervisor, know exactly what you can do and be able to prove it and take the action to show Jim. Because I guarantee you, the rest of your team knows who Justifier Jim is. Do they not? If you do, they do. And I can guarantee you, they're watching to see who wins. Go ahead.
I have a little story like that. When I was in the last school that I worked, right, one day we have two pallets of coffee paper. You know how many boxes come in each pallet and they're so heavy? So normally I use all my guys to help me move that into the storage area.
Okay.
So that day when all of them came in, you know, I told the guys, once you finish with the cafeterias, let's meet up in my storage area because we have to move that into the storage.
We got to move all this paper into the storage. Okay.
Normally all of them, they know the drill and they're there. But it happened to be that at that time, there was another gentleman who just strumpered into my school. Okay? So when we went over there, everybody was there but him.
Oh, the new guy couldn't follow lead.
Yes. So when I asked for him, one of the guys said, well, Leo, you just say that that's not in his job description.
That's not in my job description.
That's not in my job description. So I said, really? You say that? He said, yeah, that's not in his job description. He went straight up to his area. So I said, okay. So I went up to his second floor. And I went straight to him and asked him, hey, so-and-so, why are you not there helping the other guys? He said, because that's not in my job description. I read it. I'm always there.
Oh, yeah, back to the policy. Back to the policy.
Back to the policy stuff. And I said, do you really read it well? He said, yes, sir. I'm moving paper into storage. It's not in my job description. So I said, okay. So I went to one of the rooms. I accessed the computer. I went and I printed it out. I bring him to the office. I said, read it again one more time before I'm going to prove to you that it's there. So he read it again. Sure thing. There's nothing here to say about moving paper into storage. I say, read to me the very last description in your job description. And it says, and any other related task assigned to the supervisor.
Any other related task?
Assignment.
Yeah, but it was conveniently missed.
Yes, so I told him, see, it's there.
That is in your job description because I just wrote it in.
So then he didn't have no choice but then to go on the skip. So sometimes it's sneaky, and they're trying to play those games with you, and whenever that happens, I think you have to go and face them right away in the proper way, you know, let them know, you know, it's all right, I don't know, but you got to be positive, you got to help them.
And Leo, you're telling me exactly what Mike just wrote. You know, exactly. They're sneaky. They're going to use the policy. They're going to know all of that. So, Lord, I said, you've got to know what this person or persons uses and how they use those, because all the rest of your team members are watching you. Everybody else knew what you were doing. They knew that you were going to get him there. Now, how were you going to get him there? And see, the thing is, and I call it nipping it in the bud, that cancer can't grow anymore.
Then if somebody has gone through the same situation, then they come back and say the same, and then the next thing you know, nobody will ever want to do
that. Have you ever had to do that again because now everybody knew?
No, that was not to that group, and never again, to be honest.
Right.
If it happened, it just everything fall right in place.
So it kind of self-pleases itself, right? And this is what happens. So many times whenever you supervise or you manage a group of people, the best thing is to let them manage each other without them knowing you're doing it. Now, I'm going to stop. I got something for that. I'm going to stop on that for right now. Because the next one is Mr. Attitude. You know, these are the people who live with their cup half empty. Right? You like that? I mean, I was looking at what Mike wrote, and I'm like, hey, Mike, you're spot on. I mean, that's why him and I had so much fun together. It's like, hey, this is, you just put into words what I've always heard and talked and what we felt. It's like, this is spot on. This is always that person that has an attitude about everything, and they're extremely unorganized. You ever really look at it? And they bring unnecessary stress on themselves. Now, I told you earlier that I'm trying to de-stress my life. You know one of the ways I'm trying to do that? Is organization. Planning ahead, being proactive. I'm not unorganized anymore. I used to be at one point. I've been working for 20 some years. I feel like I still haven't got that perfected yet. But behaviors as such as being distant, aloof, disrespectful, discourteous, does that go along with that person with the attitude? Pretty spot on. That person is kind of over by themselves, because why? Nobody wants to be around them. They don't want that attitude. They don't want their bad issues rubbing off on them. I don't need problems with the boss. I want to distance myself from them. Because
kind of bullies.
They're kind of bullyish. Yeah. And it's because of their attitude. They live under that, you know, I said yesterday, you ever know anybody that's got that black cloud that, you know, hangs over them all the time? Yeah. This is right where you're at.
You can see him coming.
You can feel it coming, because it's just like this, it's just this negative aura around them.
Really?
Right? So, Mike has some strategies for the head custodian to use. And this first one, I'm like, whoa, I never really thought about that. You mean I need to go to them and ask them? Oh, now, this one's going to challenge you. Go to them and ask them for suggestions? What would you ask them? You gotta kind of be a little careful there, don't you?
Yeah.
But I agree with you.
How are you doing today? Is everything okay?
Yeah, everything's okay. It's kind of one of those questions. It's kind of like, yeah. It's kind of like when somebody, you walk into the store and they say, "Can I help you?" And you go, "No, I'm just shopping." That's kind of one of those questions. You know, how are you doing? How's the weather? I kind of need to be a little bit more pinpointed, but can you ask, you know, how are you feeling today? You know, of course, me kind of being, you know, a little bit more out there than some, might say, hey, is the glass full today? Do we need to fill it? They might not know what I'm saying. Praise. Oh no, you're really challenging me now. Come on, Mike. You told me I got to ask the person a question, now I got to praise them? Uh-oh. But there are suggestions that the person has that may give you some insight. Because the thing is this person is going to try to convince you of everything they know. Now here's the backside of that. Usually when you ask questions and you listen with your ear instead of with your mouth, you find out some secrets. I'm not sure about the praising part, but now you want me to encourage them to speak. Mike, come on. You're killing me here. Are you following Mike along here? I mean, when I said that you're going to challenge you to manage the rock star people, your rock star people are watching how you're dealing with this person. Not emotionally, factually. What you did is you asked him to tell me where it is. Give me the facts. You want to show me the policy? Okay, so you did exactly that. That's a hard thing to do because you know how to know where your ground is, and that's where you did, Leo. You knew where his ground was. You could stand firmly on that. Ask him to come up with a workable solution. All right? That's the way it is. How do we deal with it? What are we going to do? That's not your job. Who's going to deal with it? It's got to get done. What are we? You know, what's the solution? But don't then start going into everything. When you ask a question of this person, you know what my standard thing is. Shut the. Give some guidelines, some dates for them to follow up. Why? These people like details. They're kind of like with the other one before, justifying. Justifying an attitude kind of runs in that same parallel together. Remind them to comply with the deadlines. If you give a deadline, you better stick to it. Absolutely. I mean, if you say 5 o'clock, you come in there at 5 o'clock and you hold it to the fire. Your job at that point is what? Come on, a little louder. What's the first part? There you go. I'm going to get everybody to say it eventually, all at one time. So some practice keys. Speak in a positive tone. You have to make sure that you're positive when you're dealing with this person. Not condescending, not in a negative way. I need to ask for suggestions. I need to invite some alternatives. That's like I said, get some of their ideas and let them know when they make progress. Because here's the interesting thing. That person with an attitude, if worked with, can be a tremendous ally. Can't tell you how many times I've went and done these, and I think the largest one I did was with a group of about 400. And they said, there's no way. The superintendent of schools said, there's no way you're going to take all these custodians at one time and you're going to keep them sitting in a seat and at attention for 8 hours, for a whole day. It isn't going to happen. You don't know our people. No, I have never worked with a custodian in my life. Challenge was... But you know, the thing is when you start letting people know that you're going to do it, people with the attitude, I can start picking them out right quick. Because I told them guidelines, told them the deadlines, told them exactly what. They brought their pieces of paper up. When you recognize what you're looking for, and then what do? I key on certain individuals that I know are disruptors. You key on the disruptors, everybody else falls in line. So this person with the attitude might be one of those disruptors, might they? So get that person in line, see what it'll do for you. So, it's kind of funny how right after that one, you see where we're going? The helpless one. So you just went from the one that knows everything is going to tell you exactly how everything is, and then you go to the helpless one who just can't seem to get anything done or done right. And they always are saying, I can't do. I can't get that done. You know, we talked about that earlier. I got 100 chairs to move, you know. But I can't get the rest of my work done. I can't. So how do we deal with I can't? Well, they need to be told step by step exactly what to do. This is how you start to work with them first. But you know the thing is, because they're going to say, I just do what I'm told. Why? They're not usually critical thinkers. They're not usually forward-thinking folks. Are you starting to see the challenges of who we need to be as a supervisor? And you think cleaning toilets is hard. Look at the tasks that we have to deal with. By the way, how many people do most of us have that we supervise? Listen, give me an idea. 40? 20? 4? Pardon? 15? 9? Okay. So you might have only a few of these. You might not have every one of these, hopefully, in 4 people. But in 15, you might. But there's always going to be somebody that's going to do exactly what they're told to do, only what they're told to do. So you need to make sure that you understand that this person simply lacks confidence. Most generally, they just haven't gained the confidence that they need. They need some encouragement. They need some help. They need a little bit of a push along. They need you to listen to what, there's usually a fear there, right? No, this isn't a fear that I'm going to jump off of a 20-foot ledge. That's not the fear I'm talking about, okay? This is a fear I'm going to do something wrong. They're so afraid that they're going to do something wrong that they can't do anything right. And then when they don't do anything right, then you write them up for it. So back to that power with and power over. If you're the type of supervisor that goes, I'm going to write you up. Well, now what happens? You just installed more fear onto them. They are trying to probably accommodate. They're trying to do a job. But you're not recognizing what the issue is. So when somebody lacks confidence, they typically disengage from the rest of the team. Do you notice also another thing that's going to happen when you start really looking at all these people? This isn't a very good team. This isn't a very good family. This is a bunch of individuals working individually. Do you see your challenge? There's an overall umbrella about this whole thing. Utilize their strengths. Now, you got to search for them. But I also said everybody's doing something right. Excuse me. I've just got to find that thing they're doing right. Because here's the key. That person that's afraid, that person that can't seem to do anything right, when you find something doing right and you key on that and you let them know that, I will guarantee you this person will start to bloom like a flower. You might find that this might be your actual best person if you cultivate that, if you nurture it, if you fertilize it. Whatever terminology that you want to use, if you actually help that person, maybe what we could do is use some of these strategies. Now, I'm not going to list all these. You can read those in Mike's book. But I do want to say, encourage decision, encourage, train, show, praise, utilize, listen, stay calm. You see that reoccurring pattern in Mike's words there? You're the one that is the supervisor. They are not the problem. If you allow this person to be the one that is predominantly the one creating the problems in your team, you're the problem. I know what to do, I just need to act. Do you understand why I keep telling you? This is 80% of your job, not cleaning a toilet, not getting a floor dust mop, not burnishing a floor. That is not your job. Your job is doing all this. Because we also have some other people involved. Mr. Stressed Out. Gosh, I feel sorry for this guy. He looks like he is about ready to explode. They're always worried that they've done something, well, a little outside their schedule. They're always worried that they've done something wrong, that there's, you know, something isn't right. It can be absolutely, totally perfect, but they're always worried. Kind of that black cloud thing again. They're worried that they upset somebody because they didn't say something right when they passed them in the hall. It's what I might have said or what I didn't say or I should have. They're worried about every little thing that comes up. I'm not one of those people. You know, I'm kind of like, you know, you got something to say, say it. Because I certainly am. But these are people that need you to recognize what's going on, help them handle the adversity that they're having. And by all means, you have to stay calm. You cannot get pulled into that worrying web and second guessing. That's what I call it. We can't second guess. Whenever you're supervising them, you can't go, oh man, what should I, did I tell them everything right? You can get caught in this trap just as well. So this is where you usually get a team member. Help you out with this crisis that they're experiencing. Because usually there's something there. What did we say earlier? You know, if you listen well enough, you'll find out what's really going on. Because they're worrying about something. Show them that there's ways to feel confident about what's happening. It kind of goes along with what you just saw a minute ago. We've got to talk with these people and say, what's happening in your life? What's going on? Everybody get this? Everybody sign it? Okay. Nope. So here's some strategies. Again, I'm not going to read all these to you. But you see, it says show them, encourage them, give them stories, show them, praise them. You see what I'm talking about? Mike's talking about here, continuing to do the same thing. It's our responsibility to find this issue and work with them through these things. Not to just say, hey, you need to get this changed. It's the power with that he talks about. Because these people are on your team. You've got to get your team working together. We need as many rock stars on that team because I want a rock star team, right? Anybody else? Yes. So how can these strategies, how can you use these strategies with someone who is worried about being able to talk to a teacher or with a teacher concerning their room that was left in a disastrous state? I've never seen a room that was left in a disastrous state. I'm sorry. How do you deal with that? Have you ever seen one of them?
Yeah.
What are you laughing for?
Yeah. I've seen people do that. Yeah. That'll leave a room.
They leave the room like it was.
Like that was.
You know what? That's somebody else's job.
Yeah.
So what? How do you worry? How do you work with this person that finds a room that's a disastrous, and they got to talk with somebody about it, right? What do you do?
Administration.
Pardon?
Teachers don't work for us, so they're the person they work for.
Okay, could be one option. Go up the chain, find somebody that'll listen.
Yeah, because.
Somebody else said? Document it, right? But we got to get through this thing. This person's worried that if they say something to the teacher, what's going to happen?
Or you could possibly go to, if it's all legit, go talk with the teacher with them.
Yeah, you can go talk with the teacher with them. Do you ignore it? No, can't ignore it. Because that's a cancer that's going to just spread. You've got to address it. So what I'm saying is, I'm not going to give you the answer, but you're going to have to work through finding the answer, because it's not going to go away. Because Mr. Worrier is going to continue to worry about it no matter what. Because a week or two later, something happens and they're going to worry that they were the problem, that they caused something else to happen. They're going to worry about it until it's corrected. While the room may have got cleaned, they're going to worry about somebody said something wrong. These people, I can guarantee you, can create a cancer in your team faster than just about anybody. Because when people start to worry, they start assuming things and creating things that aren't there. So recognize that this person is the one that can create a whole lot of problems when they get stressed out and worrying. We've got two more to go, and I'm glad that Mike included the females. Okay, girls, we didn't let you loose here.
You're in trouble, buddy.
But I thought it was kind of interesting which one he got it on. That my wife, when she saw this, she was like, "No, wait a minute." I don't know that these are gender specific, okay? I don't think so. Because I can guarantee you, I know a lot of guys that can do this just as well. But this is one who complains about everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Okay, I get a lot of head nodding now. How do you deal with them? What do you do? Well, this is the one that realized that they can complain about anything and about the same thing for months or even years. You know what? Back in the 80s, you did this. Really? You know, you've got to deal with these things as they happen and put them to bed. You've got to know who this person is and look at a different approach to that issue or something that's going on. This is tough. This one's one of the toughest ones. Because they're going to whine about the fact that you're talking with them. Yeah. I mean, you know, they're going to have a problem with the fact that you called them in to talk with them and praise them. Why are you singling me out? Do I talk like I've had this happen to me before? Okay, it's like I called you in to give you some praise because you're doing something right. But why are you singling me out? Why aren't you talking about everybody else? Well, they didn't do that. Come on, take it easy. You have to make sure that any and all solutions that you then propose are reasonable. You got to kind of weigh this a little bit. You can't go too far one direction or another with these people, because when you do is when their scale gets way out of balance.
Reasonable to them individually?
Well, this is where you've got to kind of buffer that. And you ask, reason to them? Correct. This is where, whenever you're talking about somebody that is going to whine about everything, these people are kind of in that neutral zone. They don't want to be singled out for praise, right? You've got to be very careful with balancing and keeping things level. I like level instead of reasonable. You must stay in control of the conversation, because they're going to take that conversation and go anywhere and everywhere with it. You've got to reel that conversation back in, and you've got to stay there, because why? You've got to keep this on a neutral, even plane. Because once it starts going this way, they're going to whine about anything that's off of neutral. You've got to find ways to help them utilize their strengths. They have strengths just as well as anybody else. Why do I keep talking about praising them? Because I guarantee you, this was my biggest challenge. I had somebody that did the right things, and they whined about all kinds of things, but man, they were really good at that thing. But I could never really appraise them very much because that upset them. Created some real challenges for me. Mike's got a whole bunch of different things. Here's the one that I found interesting. Promote family work. Now, if you didn't catch the family work thing yesterday, you can catch it in Mike's book. It talks about family work, but as we said before, treating them like they're your sister, your brother, your aunt, your uncle. Okay? I think this is the one that I never really thought about whenever I was challenged with this. Let the family know what's happening and get the family involved as to how they would deal with the issue. All right? I never really thought about that. Mike says it works. He's got a better experience with that than I do. We're at the last one, and then I'm done with you for the week. That's the best thing today, right? Mr. Longevity, and I fit there now. But I'm not quite, which one of those am I? Am I the one that's got my, well, they both got their heels dug in. I looked at that and I thought, well, wait a minute, they both got their heels dug in, right? One's pulling and one's pulling against. These are the people putting in their time and reluctant to change or improvements. Well, I can guarantee you, Everett back there will say, I can guarantee you every Monday it's going to change. Because what we talked about last week, by the time he comes back and works with me one day a week, every time he comes in on Monday, what are we doing different today, Dave? So I haven't got quite to the point, but I am the Mr. Longevity because I've been here so long. So what do we do with the people that's always been here? They're good workers. They've been here on time. You can depend on them. But you know what? We've got some issues. They're close to retirement. You know what? I just need a little of, you know, if I could just motivate them just to do this. What do we do? They often struggle with change. Why? I've been doing this for 43 years. What are you going to tell me?
I know everything.
Challenge me. I'll guarantee you I know everything. Goes back to their roles. Have I got the right person in the right role? Is Mr. Longevity in the right role? Because, maybe he's not on the right seat on the bus. Maybe he needs to be on a different bus altogether.
Right, where you could even, I don't want to say promote, but use that.
Very well, because we're going to go to that. So, find the praise in the past, their successes, remind them how valuable they are, and let's move forward. Now, that doesn't mean that this older person that's getting ready to retire can't be a mentor to somebody else. Because you know what? By this time, I'm full of it. Why am I here today with you trying to impart all of this information to you? Because I've already been through it. I've had the exercises. I've had the challenges. I've had the failures. Best thing you can do with me is give me somebody that I can help. You know what? I'm going to be more valuable to you at this point if I can help you than if I can clean a toilet. Give me the challenge. Tell me what the challenge is. Let me help. This is how you deal with Mr. Longevity and get them on board with the Rockstar program, right? Encourage them to share. Loosen up the mood. I guarantee you, as old people, we love to talk about things that happened in our past and all the stories we have that you haven't had yet a chance to do. Yeah, you have to tolerate us a little bit. You have to kind of just, you know, it's the old guy. But that's the way it is. Because you know what? We really do want to see things look better. We do really want to see things better. I can tell you folks today that if I had the tools that you have today and I would have had those 30 years ago, how much better life would have been for me. All of us white-haired guys and gray-haired guys are saying the same thing. We say it all the time. Well, yeah, you qualify too. That's why I have no hair on top of my head. But you see what I'm saying? These are the personalities. These are the people that you supervise. Of all the challenges that you have, everything that we've talked about, 80% of your job is people. Read Mike's book, buy my book, look at all of our social media that we have on there. Please engage us. We would love to have you and your people on our show. We would love to talk about what you do, what your people do, because you know what? We want to help you get some respect in the field.